This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys today. Coming up over the next 30 minutes, we got two great guests. Preston Guide, you're going to join us here in a little bit to break down the big one in Baton Rouge this weekend between Florida and LSU. Our guy Chase Kitty going to join us coming up later on in the show. We'll talk college football today, and we'll break down half of the Week 2 NFL slate before getting into our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Chime in anything that you have at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on our live stream on X. We'll get to your questions over the next 30 minutes. It can be in baseball, college football, NFL, whatever it is, let us know. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Wednesday. Glasses in session. Let's start out with a little gridiron glass. It is a Wednesday, and every Wednesday we look at the college football slate. I like to give out the favorite that I like the best, the underdog, the over, under, and outright winner for Week 3. Let's start with the favorite that I like the best. And we are fading this team once again. How many people have the stones to fade a team that was laying 17 the week prior, lose outright, and then go right back to the well and fade that team again? This guy. We're taking Miami minus 17.5 against South Florida. Couple of reasons why I love the Canes in this matchup. First one, USF has had two big upsets the first couple weeks. Week one, you upset the team that made the college football playoff last year, the Group of Five champion in Boise State at home. You obliterate them. And then the following week, you go into the swamp and you upset the Florida Gators. And that was an emotional win, man. I mean, South Florida, after the game, they're taking pictures on the field. Their coaches are screaming, yelling, running down from the press box to celebrate with their team in the locker room. That was an emotional, big-time win. So after those two wins, how much does USF have left in the tank to get ready for one of the most talented teams in the country? Miami beat them last year 50-15, so they know what USF is all about. And think about how good their run defense was, containing Jeremiah Love, and that Notre Dame rush game was kept intact for the most part. So they should do a good job of containing Byron Brown. I think the Canes win in a rout. I like them minus 17.5 against USF. How about the underdog that I like the best this week? And it's something to always monitor when you're betting college football, because we usually get about one or two games like this every week, especially early on in the season. All you got to do is you got to look at the slate in college football, and you got to look at some of the big point spreads that are on the board. And about every week, you get one or two games with a big point spread that drops about 3 or 4 points. And whatever team has the steam going towards them, you bet that underdog. Last week, it was Troy against Clemson. That line opened up about 34.5, 35.5, closed about 30.5. Troy was up 16-0 in the first half against Clemson before the Tigers come back and win the game by 11 points. Well, this week we have Oklahoma and Temple. Sooners opened up about a 24.5, 25.5 point favorite. Now it's all the way down to 21.5, and I think it makes a lot of sense. Last week, Clemson, big emotional game against LSU in week one. Turn around, you play Troy at home, right? There's a weather delay. I mean, the stadium's not as nearly as loud or as rocking. The energy isn't the same as it was for that LSU game. Major letdown. Well, look at Oklahoma's spot. They just had that massive game against Michigan last week. College game day was there. Probably the biggest win of the Brett Venables era. You got Auburn coming into Norman next week. It's a letdown, sandwich game, all the things we look for. Give me Temple, plus 21.5 against Oklahoma. The over that I like the best is going to be SMU and Missouri State over 61.5. I love this Missouri State team. I bet that either against them or on them the first 2 weeks. So I've watched this team pretty closely, and I'm very impressed with their offense, and I really like their quarterback, Jacob Clark, who threw for about 350 yards last week against Marshall. You have another team in SMU coming off an emotional, heartbreaking overtime loss to Baylor in a rivalry game. Their offense should put up some points. USC scored 73 on Missouri State, so SMU should be able to put up some points. I think Missouri State puts up some points as well. I like over 61.5 in that game. The under that I like the best is going to be Wisconsin and Bama under 46.5. Look, Bama, these are just the kind of games under Kellen DeBoer that they tend to struggle with when they go up against a good defense that can stop the run game and make Bama one-dimensional. And that's what Wisconsin's going to do. Their offense is not very good, and they do struggle a lot of the time to move the football. I mean, against Miami of Ohio, they only had 17 points. Billy Edwards Jr., their starting quarterback, might not play in this game. Last year, Bama played Missouri, who was a great defensive team, but really struggled on offense. Their quarterback, Brady Cook, was like hurt the whole year. That was like a 27-0 win for Bama. I kind of see this game going the same way, like 27-3, 24-7, somewhere in that neighborhood. I like under 46.5. Finally, the team I like to win outright is going to be Old Dominion, plus 220 against Virginia Tech. ODU is a solid team out of the Sun Belt. They have a lot of returning production from last year, a team that nearly beat South Carolina in week one. They went up to Bloomington, hung tough with the Indiana Hoosiers. They were like 23-point dogs in that game, only ended up losing by 13. Virginia Tech, the first 2 weeks of the season, played South Carolina out in Atlanta on Sunday, and then they played Vanderbilt in what was supposed to be a revenge game in Blacksburg. They lose both of those. Kyron Jones just doesn't look like the guy right now. Brett Pry is definitely on the hot seat. Virginia Tech's on upset alert this week. I would keep an eye on Old Dominion plus 220 to win that game outright. So we got Miami minus 17.5, the favorite that I like the best. Temple plus the points against Oklahoma. SMU, Missouri State, we're going over the total at 61.5. Wisconsin, Bama under 46.5. And then ODU on the money line at plus 220 against Virginia Tech. Those will be the games that we like for this week in college football. All right, it looks like our guy, Shawnee Sharp, is talking to Preston Guy. I think we got Preston in the waiting room getting ready to talk to him. Preston is a staff writer covering LSU football. Give him a follow on X at PGuy77. Preston, how's it going, man? Can you hear me?
Hear me, guys.
Yes, sir. We got you, man. We appreciate you joining us. Big game this week, Florida and LSU. And obviously LSU, Preston, they just had a massive game a couple weeks ago against Clemson, and the big takeaway was how great that defense was in that Clemson game. Preston, you watch every LSU game. You know how much the defense has struggled the last couple years. What was your biggest takeaway from that side of the ball in the Clemson game? What did the defense do really well that stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a return to LSU football, as y'all remember. You know, the early 2000s and really into the early 2010s as well. The LSU defense is really what carried LSU football in through its golden era of success. And, you know, it always seemed like, man, if LSU could just find a quarterback, how good would they be? Well, you know, we've had now, you know, two Heisman winners here, and now it's like, man, if LSU could just find a defense, how good would they be? So it seems like they definitely have the pieces in place now, and that defense is suffocating. I mean, they shut Clemson out in the second half, and then they opened up against La Tech with a shutout in the first half there. Of course, they gave up what was effectively a garbage time touchdown up 20-0 late in the fourth quarter against Louisiana Tech there. But I mean, it is just as good as build. It is suffocating. These guys look like the real deal, and it looks like they might need to, because that offense, while very talented, is having some trouble putting things together. Just seems like they can't get all the pieces lined up right now on that side of the ball.
You know what, Preston? I think last week what was interesting is LSU has that great win in week one, and we come away from it, and we're like, man, LSU's good enough to win the national title. They go in, they beat one of the best teams in the country in their house. And then we're watching week two last week, and we're all seeing Clemson struggle with Troy at home. They were down 16-0 in that game. So naturally, we go into this week in week three, and we're wondering, How much of that game was just LSU being awesome? Is Clemson not as great as we think they are? So what were your takeaways kind of from that Clemson-Troy game? Did you come away from maybe looking at that LSU-Clemson game like LSU is still really good, but maybe Clemson just not as great as we thought they were, and interested to see what they do against Florida now?
Well, you know, if you're just looking at that objectively and you know, okay, LSU Clemson played one football game against each other. Now we're going to try to move forward from that and determine how good are these football teams. And their first test outside of that is a struggle win versus lesser G6 opponents. That's not good. That's a stock down week. It just is. However, I'll say this. I mean, they both won. They both, you know, took care of business in the second half. I mean, Clemson went down 16-0, and then they ripped off 27 straight. LSU effectively was in control of that game against La Tech and missed on a lot of opportunities here and there. But it's just I look at it as more of an emotional letdown. I mean, you're talking about a massive top five matchup on the road, and then you have to, you know, come back home and play a G5 or G6 opponent who doesn't quite excite your players and coaches quite all the same. So I'm not going to overreact to it, but there's certainly, you know, some flags being raised there. It definitely was a stock down week.
Nussmeier's the favorite right now, Preston, to win the Heisman Trophy. You've obviously seen Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels here in recent years win the Heisman. You think Nussmeier's good enough to do it? You think that supporting cast around him, if they have the season that a lot of us maybe think they might go to the playoff, do you think that he is the rightful favorite right now to win the Heisman?
Yeah, I think he's certainly good enough to do it. I don't know if he actually ends up going through and doing it. Particularly, there's some tough defenses he's going to have to play down the road here. So we'll just have to see if he's able to perform. He certainly was able to perform for the most part last year, although there were some performances like Texas A&M. You can't go out there and throw three interceptions. But if he can cut back on the interceptions and improve upon, he played badly against Louisiana Tech this weekend. I mean, I tallied up his misreads. I mean, he had six misreads. And he had five inaccurate throws, and two times he held onto the ball too long. So that's a total of 13 errors he made against a G6 team. He has to improve upon that. He cannot be having wide open receivers that he underthrows by 10 yards. He's got to iron that out. I think he will, because for the most part last year, he did iron that out. He had a few moments here or there where it wasn't great, but we're talking about a 4,000-yard passer for a reason, a guy who's passed for 6,000 yards in his career. I think he gets that out. He's certainly good enough, and if LSU holds on and has a special season like they're certainly capable of with that defense, he might not need to do what Jaden Daniels and Joe Burrow did to win the Heisman. I would say that an undefeated season and 35 touchdowns might do the trick for Garrett Nussmeier.
We're talking LSU football here with Preston Guy. Give him a follow on X at PGuy77. Preston, let's get into the big one on Saturday against the Florida Gators. What are the keys to the game for you in that matchup?
Man, LSU has to play disciplined on offense. I mean, there's just so many times where just something goes wrong. You got to catch the ball. Your quarterback has to throw the ball accurately. Receivers are getting open and just things are going awry somehow, some way. You have to execute, particularly when it matters. LSU has had a history under Joe Sloan the last couple of years of getting into the red zone and not being able to get points on the board. Something goes wrong. So they have to execute, especially when it matters. Florida is going to be a team in absolute desperation mode. Billy Napier will be coaching for his job. We're talking about a coach who's 500 after four seasons in his fourth season at Florida. That's not boding well over there. He's going to pull out everything he can. He's going to fire his guys up as much as possible to win this football game, because he knows if he doesn't win it, he's in trouble. And it certainly doesn't get any easier from here with Miami, Texas A&M, Georgia, Mississippi State. I mean, he has an absolute gauntlet coming his way, and the gauntlet starts today. Although the losing started last week, the gauntlet is what starts today.
Yeah, it certainly is. Preston, I also want to get your thoughts on the total, which is sitting at 48.5, because last year was a low scoring game between these two, but the prior 5-6 years have been total shootouts, as you know. Do you think we get back to a high scoring affair, especially with the two quarterbacks that we have in this game, or with two good defenses, do you think once again it's a lower scoring matchup?
No, I don't see 48.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8.5 happening. I would take the under there. I mean, I'm not a professional bettor by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know this defense is certainly good enough to hold Florida to 10 points because they did it to Clemson. I ultimately believe Clemson still will have a better offense than Florida this year, and LSU was utterly dominant against Clemson's, particularly in the second half, and I think this defense is the real deal. So that being said, to go out and say, if you think LSU can hold Florida roughly in the ballpark of, you know, 10 to 15 points, to go out there and ask LSU to score in the mid-30s, that's a lot of points to lay. That's a lot of points to put up against an SEC team like Florida, particularly the way LSU's offense is moving where there's still clunkiness going on. I'm going under 8.5 if you make me pick.
Preston, before we let you go, man, what's your prediction for Saturday in Baton Rouge? Who wins the game?
I think LSU wins and covers. I think Florida is a team in desperation, but ultimately there's a reason why they're in this desperate spot. And I think 7.5 is a bigger number than it sounds, because essentially you're saying more than one score is what they're going to win by. You know, 7 points is one touchdown, but that means they're going to go more than that, which means, you know, basically to beat that, going by football scores, you have to win by about 10 or so. And I think LSU can do that. I think LSU should win by 2 scores in this game. I think that defense is the real deal. And I think this offense, while they're not necessarily hitting on all cylinders right now, there's certainly some synchronization errors going on. I definitely think they're loaded with talent. The offensive line is problematic, but at the skill positions in Nussmeier, they're definitely talented enough. I think LSU cruises by 2 scores.
There you go. Preston Guy, give him a follow on X at PGuy77. Staff writer covering LSU football. Join us here on Send It In. Preston, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game on Saturday. Talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. So y'all have a nice day.
All right, great stuff there. Preston Guy joined us. Talk a little LSU and Florida. From the college game, let's go to the pros and look at the NFL slate that we have for week one. We'll dive into half of the week two slate today. We'll look at the other half tomorrow. I see we got a question in the comments from Mr. Cover. Cowboys-Vikings moneyline parlay. Would you take that? PJ, appreciate the question, Mr. Cover. Getting to that in a little bit because we are talking about the Dallas and Giants game. But first, let's talk about the game we have coming up tomorrow between the Packers and the Commanders. Green Bay, a 3.5-point favorite, and the total in the game is 48. I really like Green Bay on the money line here. I think they're a great money line parlay piece at minus 190. So, Mr. Cover, you're looking for a money line parlay team. I think Green Bay is that team. We all know what a big an advantage it is for teams to play at home on these Thursday night games this short week. And Matt LaFleur has been great on a short week. Washington was awesome against the spread last year under Jaden Daniels. They covered in week one against the Giants. And this line to me feels like it should be closer to like 5, 5.5, especially with how impressive the Packers looked in week one against the Lions. So because of how great Daniels is against the spread and just how great of a quarterback he is, I think Green Bay is the much more talented team with the better coach. They're at home with one of the best home field advantages in the NFL there at Lambeau. So I do like the Packers on the money line, and I'd probably lay the 3.5 with Green Bay as well. Jags are going to be at the Bengals on Sunday. Since he's a 3.5-point favorite, total in the game is 49.5. I'm staying away from this one. A lot of people probably going to come away impressed with the Jags' performance against Carolina on Sunday. I think that was more about Bryce Young and the Panthers. I told you guys I have my concerns about the Panthers going into this season. Was Bryce Young going to revert back to his old ways for what we've seen much of his career? Or is he going to look like the guy we saw the final 6-7 games of his career of year two last year? And it looked like the guy who's reverting back to his old ways. So I think that was more about Carolina. The Bengals continue to struggle early season. Burrow did not look good. They should have lost that game to the Browns. You're getting the ultimate key number at 3.5. I'm probably going to stay away from Bengals and Jags. Cowboys and Giants. So we bring up this game, right? I would take the Cowboys in a money line parlay. It feels like to me they are going to win the game. I do think it's interesting, though, that Washington was a 6.5-point favorite. They closed against the Giants at home last week. And now here is Dallas as a 6-point favorite against the Giants this week. Does that feel like too much of an overcorrection? Dallas was 3.5 on the look-ahead line. Yes, they could have won that game in Philly if CeeDee Lamb catches the ball, but Jalen Carter didn't play a defensive snap. That definitely hurt the game as well. So I think maybe there is a little bit of an overreaction to maybe Dallas's performance and also maybe the Giants and some of their missed opportunities against Washington. Would probably take the Giants plus the 6, but I do like the Cowboys to win the game. I do think they're a good money line parlay piece. Another team that could be a good parlay piece this week is the Detroit Lions -6 against the Bears. Probably a game I end up staying away from because with Detroit, I kind of want to wait to see what happens the next couple weeks. Home against the Bears this week, at the Ravens on Monday Night Football next week. It was not a good start post-Ben Johnson era for Detroit on Sunday at Lambeau. Jared Goff did not look good. He struggled, as I kind of thought he probably would and will most of this season. And the Bears, I mean, it looked great for 2.5, 3 quarters, double-digit lead, and then the defense gets shredded in the fourth quarter. Caleb Williams misses some throws, but I think they did some nice things, and I'm not ready to make my full assessment yet on Caleb. 6 points is a lot in a divisional game, just like it is with the Giants and the Cowboys, so I probably wouldn't touch the spread. Do feel good about the Lions winning the game, though. What about the Rams? -5.5 on the road in Nashville this week, taking on the Titans. If this goes back up to 6, I'd probably look at Tennessee plus the points. Rams have a big look-ahead spot next week going to Philadelphia and playing against the Eagles, and I'm sure after how that game ended, knocking them out of the playoffs last year, revenge is definitely on their mind. And Tennessee, again, is a team I'm looking to bet against the spread this season because they only covered 2 times last year. So there's value on them in the market. They barely covered last week against Denver, but they did cover. And again, Stafford banged up. Titans defense is pretty good, and I like what I saw against Cam Ward. Going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL on the road, looked pretty solid in his first start. So I lean Titans there plus the points. Definitely going with the Dolphins on the money line at -125 against the Patriots. The concern with Miami, are they just a complete mess? Is it over? Has the team quit? Is it already? Should they just already fire Mike McDaniel? But in the NFL, people talk about all the time, buy low, sell high. I mean, this is the ultimate buy low on Miami, right? Everybody that bet the Dolphins last week against the Colts, and there were a lot of them, nobody's going to want them this week against New England, especially as a favorite. Miami's the right side in the game. I think they win. I would bet the Dolphins, but there certainly is a fear that they're just a disaster and they're a train wreck waiting to happen. Saints and 49ers, I would stay away. There's so much variance in that game. We don't know if Purdy's going to play. Kittle's out. And the Saints, I mean, look, they won the yards per play battle against Arizona. They had more red zone trips than Arizona. They had a chance to tie the game late against Arizona. Saints did a lot of good things, and Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers have lost games like this in the past, especially when they're beaten up. So it's a no bet for me. I would stay away from that game. And then Bills-Jets, I kind of like the over at 46 in that one. Obviously, the Ravens offense was able to do a lot of great things against Buffalo on the ground, and that's what the Jets are going to try to do with the mobile quarterback and Fields, Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, nice 1-2 punch at running back, and then Josh Allen is just awesome, obviously. So I think we could get some points in that game. The Jets could be able to do some things that the Ravens did that gave the Bills defense some issues. So over 46 Bills Jets, I think, could be a look on Sunday. All right, let's check in with our guy Chase Kitty here on the Glasser Guest Line. Give Chase a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty, digital content writer for BetMGM. Chase, let's start with a little college football, my friend, and a would you rather, because these are two very interesting games with maybe some buy low opportunities on some two pretty good programs. Clemson is laying 3.5 on the road at Georgia Tech. Georgia laying 3.5 on the road at Tennessee. Who would you rather lay the 3.5 with, Clemson or Georgia this week?
Georgia, just because Clemson's looked weird. And I was really high on Clemson in the preseason too, so this is not me not being a Clemson fan. Like I'm feeling like I'm overexposed on Clemson at this point based on the pre-flop positions that I have. But I would much rather just stay away from that Clemson game entirely and lay the points with the Georgia team I feel pretty secure about.
All right, fair enough. Chase, your alma mater, West Virginia, backyard brawl this week, rivalry game. It's usually close, but Pitt is laying 7 on the road against the Mountaineers, who are looking to bounce back after that tough loss against the Ohio Bobcats last week. Is 7 too many, Chase? Would you take West Virginia, or is 7 not enough? Would you take the Panthers?
Not the alma mater. Harrisonburg people would be very unhappy to hear you say that.
Oh,
PJ.
I apologize.
But I did grow up in Cheat Lake, so you know we count that when you are a kid around Morgantown. In terms of the number itself, it's a rivalry game. Anything can happen. How many times do you think we're going to see those blasted 2007 highlights in this game with Rich Rod back in Morgantown? So it's not going to be a very pleasant watch for Mountaineers fans. I would not be surprised if they covered with this number now at a full touchdown. I think the way to go at this game is the under. You know, West Virginia was going to be kind of in dire offensive straits as they rebuild the team this year to begin with. And then you lose Jaheim White last week in that Ohio game. I just think offense is going to be really hard to generate from the West Virginia side. I think it's going to be a gritty rivalry game. We really don't like Pitt. They really don't like us. So those things skew under anyway. I would much rather be involved with the total than the point spread.
All right, very good. Florida, do you think they have a better chance at upsetting LSU this weekend, or A&M better chance of pulling the upset over Notre Dame?
I'll say Florida by default. I don't really love either of the upset potentials here, but I feel very strongly that Notre Dame is going to take Texas A&M out pretty hard. I did a little numbers research when I was putting my picks together this week. Texas A&M ranks 80th in FBS in yards per rush allowed. They rank 111th in EPA per rush allowed, and they rank dead last, 136th, in opponent starting field position. And it's not like they've played anybody yet. They played Utah State and UTSA. So playing a really strong jumbo package-oriented run game like what Notre Dame has, I think Texas A&M is going to get worked, and so by default, I think my answer has to be Florida. But I don't love the Gators either.
Chase, South Florida, it's been a great season for the Bulls so far, man. Upset over Boise, upset over Florida last week. Can they keep it close or even upset the Miami Hurricanes again this week, or do you think the Canes roll in a rout?
No, I like Miami, and it's nothing against South Florida. They really might be the playoff team that we see this year. I think South Florida 2007 was one of the most fun things that happened that year. So I'm kind of rooting for them to keep it going. But I just think emotionally, when you think about what they've done so far, you have the big dramatic, you know, I don't want to call it a standalone game, but it was pretty close to a standalone game. Weeknight against Boise week one. Then you go into the swamp. You beat Florida in week two. Now you got to go play Miami. I mean, you're a G5 program. At some point, like, the gas is going to run out. So I actually like Miami big this weekend.
We're talking with Chase Kitty, graduate of James Madison University. Yeah. Give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty. There you go. I got it confused, Chase. I thought maybe you went to West Virginia, grew up JMU, but that's
it's a dual loyalty household. Everybody's from West Virginia in the first place, so I get it.
There you go. Chase, proud graduate of JMU. Chase, let's talk some NFL. Week three, man. Anything that stands out to you? Any bets that you like in week anything else in week three college football that you like before we dive into NFL? Any games we haven't covered that you like?
I don't know why Jacksonville State is getting three in the hook at Georgia Southern. I know Georgia Southern is expected to compete in the Eastern Division of the Sun Belt against your JMU Dukes. But I don't know what we've seen in the first 2 weeks that makes them a 3.5-point favorite. So that number is a little weird to me. I think over 50.5 in the Illinois-Western Michigan game, I think Illinois is getting sort of slotted in as, it's a Big Ten West offense. I know the Big Ten West doesn't exist anymore, but like it's in that footprint. They have some really nice advanced analytics for their offense. They're averaging like 45 points a game. So 50.5 seems a little too low for me.
All right, very good. Chase, before I let you go, got about 45 seconds left. NFL game of the week, Eagles, Chiefs. Tell me if you have any bets in that game, and then anything else on the board that you like in week two.
I don't really like the Eagles, Chiefs game. I don't see an angle into betting it that I particularly like. I guess I would, if you made me, I guess I'd bet the Eagles because the Chiefs need the passing game to attack where Philly is weak, which right now is on the back end, and they definitely don't have that right now. So I guess I would prefer the Eagles. I think you were talking about the Titans earlier. I like the Titans plus the points against the Rams. I had the Broncos in Circa Survivor last week, and so I watched that whole Broncos-Titans game. Tennessee's good, man. The interior defensive pressure they have, they're good. They're going to be able to play ball control with Tony Pollard, I think. They're going to control the clock, control the game. So I think 5.5 points there, and I think you're dead on. The next few weeks, Tennessee will be a really valuable side to have.
Definitely. Chase Kitty, give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty, digital content writer for BetMGM and proud graduate of James Madison University. He joins us here every Wednesday. Chase, I think we found our bit for the rest of football season, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, Peter.
Great stuff. All right, guys, promo from our friends at BetMGM. Swing big on your next MLB parlay. Use this parlay boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app today. All right, you guys, let's dive into PJ's plays here on Send It In. Wrap up the show. Get us some baseball picks that we like for today. Francisco Lindor and the Mets taking on the Phillies today. Frankie Lindor, 6-for-17 in his career against Christopher Sanchez. Lindor will be my pick today to get a base hit. Yesterday, I gave you guys Kyle Bradish over outs recorded against the Pirates. That one, I'm giving you Paul Skenes today, over 7.5 strikeouts at plus 105 against the Orioles. That line is too low, especially at plus money. Orioles ain't hitting Skenes today. Get Paul Skenes over 7.5 strikeouts. Andrew Abbott and the Reds, I'll take them on the money line today at plus 120 against the Padres. Then my best bet, give me Temple, plus 21.5 against Oklahoma. Thanks again to Preston Guy, Chase Kitty for joining us today on the show. Dusty Likens joins us tomorrow to talk Chiefs and Eagles. See you guys then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.